You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And I want to thank you for joining me today. What we're going to be speaking about on the show, I'm going to be focused on what's happening in entertainment as it relates to AI, artificial intelligence. Later on, we're going to bring on our money man to speak about go over private credit markets, what's happening there. All right, I want to get back to AI and entertainment. What's happening, and it's really interesting, you had Netflix, which has, you know, they are the innovators, they are the OG in innovation in the entertainment space. You know, they built out streaming before there was streaming. A lot of other groups had the opportunity to do something with them, but they kind of didn't do it. But Netflix itself built and it changed the industry forever, and that's what they're known for. They break things and they fix them and make them better. All right, they're disruptors in every way possible. Recently, as you know, they were trying to acquire Warner Brothers. And let me be clear, they didn't need Warner Brothers. It wasn't like, oh my God, we need this because without them, we're going to die out. For them, it was like, okay, it's a trophy acquisition. It's pretty cool because they have films going back to the time of the golden age of filmmaking, going back to the time when there was no sound, when you had silent films. And I think that's what it came down to, the nostalgia. You know, would it have made them money? I don't know. I really don't. You know, their library is extensive, and it gives them a whole cast of things, because then they get the DC Comics and everything else. You know, so there are things that they can do there. But I think it was more of the trophy acquisition that they can put on their shelf and look at it and say, wow, nostalgia. And they would have monetized it, of course. But because you had Paramount coming in and wanting it, and all this stuff happened, basically Paramount had to pay, or Warner Brothers had to pay Netflix $2.8 billion for them to walk away. And they were fine with it because, yeah, at the end of the day, as they said, they didn't need it. They wanted it for their reasons, but it wasn't a key component to their operation. So now, moving forward, something very interesting happened. And this is going to turn the entertainment industry, and it's going to turn it on its heads, because this is the prelude to what's going to happen. Now, Netflix, they acquired Ben Affleck, Good Will Hunting, Ben Affleck, Daredevil, Ben Affleck, Batman, about 4 years ago or so. He created this AI company called Interpositive. Now, the interesting thing about the company, they're not so much making movies, but they're taking existing films and doing the post-production. That's where a lot of the heavy lifting comes in finishing a movie. That's where a lot of money, you know, falls into place with editing all this stuff. So he has a system that actually did it. They built it up. He founded this, as I said, you know, maybe, you know, 4 years ago or so, in 2022, and it's you know, they have a full engineering team and creative team with the company that comes with the deal, but it's really, really, in my opinion, probably the most prominent move in the entertainment space. Because they even got Ben Affleck. He's going to join Netflix as a senior advisor that's focused on AI-assisted production innovation. Okay, so this is not only one part of it. He's going to be doing a lot of things, because now you have Netflix money, a lot of things you can do. You know, they paid Ben Affleck, you know what, his team, his group, about $600 million. So essentially, with that Paramount deal, you know, Netflix got this for free. And the thing about it, with what Interpositive does, and this is how it's going to be a really big game changer, okay, it's going to save Netflix or any movie production company a lot of money in post-production. It's going to make things faster, make things better. And again, in my opinion, this is one step and a number of steps they're going to do. Okay, so what the Interpositive does, they basically, their capabilities include, you know, shot reframing, background enhancement, wire removal, you know, for the stunt people, cleanup, scene reconstruction, AI assisted editing, and post-production. Okay, this was designed to support directors, cinematographers, editors with precision automation like a surgeon. Okay, now that's where it began. You know, these AI systems, you know, as opposed to having 100 people doing a thing, you may have one or two just managing it. Okay, big difference. Are people going to lose their job? More than likely, yes. But they can readjust. They can learn a new skill set and get involved with that. I don't want to get too much into that because I'm focused on the innovation here. But it will have an impact on job creation with existing jobs. I know. I mean, it's clear that's going to happen. Now, Netflix bought this because it's going to strengthen their internal production technology stack. It's going to add on to what they have. And because this reduces the production time and the cost across films and anything they do, their TV series, it's going to be saving them money. It's going to add to the overall value of Netflix because, you know, again, they got $2.8 billion from Paramount or Warner Brothers. They put $600 million into this. They're rolling it out and they're going to start utilizing it. You know, it didn't cost the company really anything. It did not impact shareholder value. It actually, not in a negative way, it impacted shareholder value in a really, really, really positive way. Because this is going to position Netflix as a leader in AI-enhanced filmmaking, hands down. And this is one step. I'm telling you that they're going to bring this to the point that they will be making TV shows and films utilizing AI. They're going to do it because it makes sense. Now, this is going to help them to compete with everyone, Amazon, Disney. But, you know, do I see them going and licensing this potentially to a Disney, to an Amazon? Yeah, I can see that happening. You know, especially as they continue to enhance what they're doing. You know, and this, you know, again, Netflix, their long-term strategy has always been vertical integration, creative tools, production infrastructure, technology, because they're a tech company that has entertainment stuff going on. But it's all about the tech. Without the tech, we're not watching Netflix, that's for sure. Okay, now the impact that this is going to have on the overall entertainment industry, AI in general, is going to have this impact. Film production that will become a hybrid human AI situation, where AI will handle the nuances, the repetitive and really tedious stuff, the technical or time-consuming tasks. So if something takes you as a human being 2 days to do, AI may get it done in 5 minutes. Okay, that's a cost savings. Human creators, they're going to be able to focus on storytelling, performance, and creative direction. That I believe is not going to change, because AI can do a lot of things, but AI cannot go and tell a story and shift it around from experiences. Okay, everyone has their different experiences, and this is where I know, like, the writers, actors, the Writers Guild, and I think that is going to change up a little bit, but for the better for them, believe it or not. You know, SAG, that's a different story, and I'm going to go over that in a second. So the human AI hybrid model, post-production, those timelines are going to shrink dramatically. What that does is you reduce the production times, post-production times, you're going to be rolling things out a little quicker. It's a cost savings. Okay, the production time for filmmaking is going to be faster, more scalable, because when you have that assisting in the editing and scene cleanup, the turnaround time is going to be fast, especially when you're talking about, you know, TV episodes, when you have to roll things out week after week. Okay, you know, localization, dubbing, subtitles, voice matching, all this stuff is going to be near instantaneous. All right, I mean, you can have the voices put in there where now when they're dubbing and doing that stuff, it takes time when you have to get people to go and translate and do all that stuff. This right here, oh man, this is going to change that game. All right, and from the scene planning and so on and so forth, you know, this is going to help the showrunner's workflows work out much better. All right, and for actors, I think the acting landscape is going to change. You have some talented people out there, but I think more so, you're going to have a lot of, and if they don't evolve to embrace AI, I think this is when you're going to see a lot of actors fall by the wayside, in my opinion. They have the ability to monetize themselves, make themselves their own brand. I believe Matthew McConaughey did say that, and he's absolutely correct, 100% correct on that. If an actor is talented, has a voice, like let's say a Morgan Freeman or anyone really that has a certain presence to them, a certain swagger, a certain way they act, they can license all their talents and still get paid without having to do the job. Actors, they get involved in acting. Some get involved in acting because they want to be famous. They want to make a gazillion dollars. Well, you have others that really enjoy it. And this is why when you have an actor that can do stage, you know, that's talent. Okay, not a lot of actors can do that. But the ones that do that, they're talented people. Okay, like a Hugh Jackman, talented guy. So I think, you know, the actors part of it, they're going to have to change things up and become more of a commodity as far as, you know, they're going to have their brand, they're going to have their tool set that they can license out to these learning systems, these AI systems for them to utilize and utilize their likeness in a movie and so on and so forth and still get paid. Not bad, they can still get famous, right? Just a little faster, maybe. Maybe. Okay. Now let's swing over to the music industry. You know, we see it now. I've seen it so many times where you had some talented people going. I mean, not talented people, just people just had ideas, right? And you have some talented artists, and you have just people at home. They're doing something. I don't know. They're going and they're throwing a song in AI and it's spitting out that song in a different genre. It's pretty cool when they do that. It's pretty cool when they do that. It gives you a different take on things. But I think that the music industry as well is going to change. You know, music writers, I don't think that if you're talented, I don't think that you're going to get minimized. I think that the generic type of entertainers, I think they're going to fall by the wayside. You know, if you're talented and you can sing, you know, there's going to be a place for you, of course, in the music industry. But I think this is also going to cross over into what's happening in Hollywood, you know, with soundtracks and the like, because, you know, the music industry has changed from 10 years ago to today. Okay, you know, how an artist makes money is different. You know, they're utilizing social media and things like that, and live performances. That is going to be, a money generator, as opposed to the sale of of singles. I mean, some, you have a Taylor Swift, of course. You know, she has her global, you know, Swifties, and you know they're always going to get involved and support her. But you have singers and entertainers that are just building up, just the same way actors are building up. They don't have that bandwidth yet. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. But I just think that AI is going to have a big impact on the industry. You know, look, you know, you have AI tools that right now they assist with composition, mixing, mastering, voice modeling, soundtrack generation. Look, at the end of the day, you can have artists, they're going to be using AI as a creative collaborator rather than kind of replacing these things. Studios, they're going to have to adopt AI. There's no question about it. Because if they keep their overhead down and they can accelerate the output, that means more money that comes in, and the artists can make more money, right? Get more things out there and do that. I think that also we're going to see a lot of talent using AI. They're going to use this to extend that creative reach, as I just mentioned. You know, but this is going to cross over, you know, actors, directors, musicians. They're going to license the AI versions of their voices, likenesses, or styles. And what's going to happen, and that I think, is that even with movies or TV shows, that they're going to have soundtracks and so on and so forth, and they can license the singing voice of a particular entertainer to make a new song, I guess, right? You know, that makes sense. That's pretty cool to do. But I think things like this are going to happen. Just from AI doubles to voice models and AI performance capture, they're going to become standard tools. Watch what's going to happen in the next year or two, how the entire, like Hollywood, the old school of Hollywood is going to be turned upside down, and those that do not conform are going to be the ones that are not going to be there in the future. They're not going to get work. They're going to be, you know, they can go and grab onto their SAG and their bag and everything else. At the end of the day, you know, the time of those type of organizations that are dominating and posing their will on Hollywood is going to be over, I believe, because if they don't change, it's going to die out. Okay, the Screenwriters Guild, they're doing that, right? They're making deals, all right? And that's smart because writers, you have that creative thing that comes out of someone. That stuff is not going to go away. You know, AI can do a lot of things. And, you know, until they have the humanoids that think like us, they're not going to have the experiences that an individual will be able to write, especially when you're talking about, you know, like a Tupac. You're never going to have, or Biggie, you're never going to have AI that's going to take those experiences and those things that they've seen or they went through and bring them to life. That's what I believe. Okay, now studios are going to be competing in the AI infrastructure, there's no question. I do see Netflix as being, you know, Amazon is there too, you know, because it's Amazon. But I think Netflix is a little bit ahead, and I think they're going to continue to be ahead. I think that they, you know, of course, they're probably using Amazon's server system and everything to go and produce these things. But hey, you know, partnerships do happen. Basically with Netflix taking over in a positive, you know, you're talking about owning tools, controlling that pipeline, and that integration of AI into every stage of production. That is what is going to define the next decade of entertainment. Mark my words, it will define the next decade of entertainment. And we're going to see more and more of this. Okay, this acquisition is just a sign of what's going to happen. So I believe that this is going to change how Hollywood works. A lot of the entertainment companies, you know, that are there, they have the ability to generate even more revenue, but they're going to have to embrace AI. You know, those casting calls, you know, paying actors a gazillion dollars to make a film, all that stuff is going to wind up sliding by. there is a place for the actors, for this, because I love Hollywood. I love the old school movies, you know, and you know, because they were probably some of the best. Right now, it's more of the glitz and the glamour. You're trying to bring that, how can I put it? You want the viewer you kind of want to keep them in and keep them on the hook when you're putting out your movie, when they're watching your movie anyway. And I, you know, you do have some great writers out there that write some great films, and they know how to do it. Just imagine if you had a great writer and director, and they teamed up, and they wrote a movie, but then they have 10 movies in the pipeline that may take them, you know, on a usual regular basis, probably 15 years to do, right? But utilizing AI and putting this in place, that can cut down that timeline tremendously. You know, is it going to flood the market? I don't think so. I think that you're going to get more quality out there, and you can have some more theatrical releases, and you know, you can go and have more, you know, at-home releases and so on and so forth. But as I said, AI is going to change everything. All right, anyway, I just want to talk about that for what it's worth, because I think it's going to be impactful with any private or public company that's in the entertainment industry. That's why I was talking about it, because it will impact the flow of money from the private to the public sector. All right, now on that note, I'm going to stop talking about this. I am going to, you know, bring on our money man to talk about the private credit markets. So hang on.
Private credit has grown from a niche corner of finance into one of the most powerful engines of corporate lending. With assets estimated to exceed $2 trillion US dollars globally, the sector has attracted enormous flows of capital from pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, insurance companies, and institutional investors seeking yield in a world where traditional fixed income often fails to keep pace with inflation. Yet as the market matures, the private credit ecosystem is beginning to experience the types of stresses that financial historians have seen before. What makes the current moment notable is not simply the scale of the market, but the lack of transparency and infrastructure surrounding it, conditions that can transform relatively small disruptions into far more consequential financial events. Major financial institutions have moved aggressively into the private credit space, recognizing that traditional banking regulations have limited banks' ability to lend to highly leveraged companies. At Morgan Stanley, executives have acknowledged that private credit is becoming a structural pillar of modern corporate finance, particularly for middle-market companies that fall outside the scope of traditional syndicated loans. The firm has expanded partnerships and lending vehicles designed to capture the growing demand for direct lending. Similarly, BlackRock has significantly expanded its presence in private credit, positioning itself as a major allocator of capital into the asset class. The firm has repeatedly highlighted private lending as a key opportunity for institutional investors seeking higher yields and diversification beyond traditional bond markets. At Goldman Sachs, leadership has described private credit as one of the fastest-growing segments of global capital markets, with increasing demand from both borrowers and investors. Goldman has built out lending platforms and funds that participate directly in private financing deals, particularly those tied to leveraged acquisitions and growth financing. These institutions recognize that private credit is no longer simply an alternative investment. It is rapidly becoming part of the core architecture of corporate finance. Alongside the entry of large banks and asset managers, specialized credit firms have emerged as dominant players in the space. One of the most prominent examples is Blue Owl Capital, a firm that has built a massive direct lending platform designed to provide financing to private equity-backed companies. Blue Owl's strategy reflects the broader transformation of credit markets, where asset managers increasingly function as lenders rather than merely investors. However, the scale of these platforms also means they are directly exposed to shifts in economic conditions. As interest rates have risen and economic growth has slowed, a growing number of borrowers financed through private credit structures are facing pressure on their balance sheets. Companies that took on floating-rate loans during years of cheap capital are now confronting dramatically higher interest expenses. This dynamic has begun to produce early signs of stress across parts of the market. Recent developments in private credit markets illustrate how vulnerabilities can surface quickly when financing conditions tighten. Across the industry, some private credit funds have begun renegotiating loan terms with borrowers struggling under higher interest costs. A growing number of companies financed through private equity deals are seeking debt restructurings or covenant adjustments. Certain credit funds have quietly marked down portfolio valuations, reflecting rising default risk. Because private credit loans are not traded in open markets, these adjustments often occur behind closed doors and become visible only gradually. This lack of transparency can obscure the early stages of market stress until the impact becomes more difficult to contain. One of the defining characteristics of private credit markets is the absence of real-time price discovery. Unlike public corporate bonds, which trade on transparent markets where pricing adjusts continuously, private credit loans are typically valued using internal models or periodic third-party assessments. This structure creates a delayed feedback loop during times of stress. Market participants may not immediately recognize deterioration in borrower credit quality. Portfolio valuations may remain stable until formal reassessments occur. When adjustments finally happen, they can appear abrupt and severe. As a result, relatively modest credit deterioration can cascade into broader market anxiety once valuations begin to reflect underlying risks. The infrastructure supporting private credit markets remains significantly less developed than that of public credit markets. There are no centralized trading venues, limited regulatory reporting requirements, and no universal standards governing how private loans are valued or disclosed. In this environment, small disruptions can escalate quickly. A cluster of defaults within a particular sector can raise concerns about portfolio exposures across multiple credit funds. Investors may begin questioning how assets are valued and whether risks are properly reflected. Liquidity constraints can emerge if investors seek to withdraw capital from funds holding illiquid loan portfolios. In essence, the opacity that makes private credit attractive to some investors can also amplify uncertainty when conditions deteriorate. Despite these challenges, few observers expect private credit to retreat as a major force in global finance. Corporate demand for flexible financing remains strong, and institutional investors continue to allocate capital to the sector. However, the current wave of market stress may force the industry to evolve. Large financial institutions, including BlackRock, Morgan Stanley, and Goldman Sachs, are increasingly exploring ways to introduce greater transparency, data infrastructure, and secondary market liquidity into private credit ecosystems. If these efforts succeed, private credit could mature into a more resilient component of global financial markets. If they do not, the sector may discover that the very characteristics that fueled its explosive growth, opacity, customization, and limited oversight, can also turn relatively small bumps in the road into far deeper financial craters. In finance, history rarely repeats exactly, but it often rhymes. The private credit markets may now be approaching the moment where that rhyme becomes impossible to ignore.
As you can see, you're getting some input from our money man, talking about the private credit markets and what's happening there. And that's an ongoing saga. You know, we'll see what goes on with Blue Owl and such as the days go on. But as, you know, this war rages on in Iran and oil prices are bouncing all over the place and there's so much uncertainty out there, you guys, you're trading, you're investing, stay vigilant and, do your best to be in tune to what's going on because it can impact your portfolios and whatnot. Again, that's my view. All right, anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in to Money Never Sleeps Radio, and I'll be back with you on the next episode of Money Never Sleeps. Take care.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Belathkeff and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.